Okay. I love you. That's a lot.
If you want to come back, there's no one living here now.
But I'm trying to.
Gus, Ryan, or Ian Morris, we still have you on the line?
Welcome to my office.
Hello? Well, I don't know if we've lost the people. You guys might want to actually get started, and if they're still on the line, they can jump in with questions. Just feel free.
Can you talk about that suit and why you pick it? Why is it tight? It's a legitimate question. Is it, I mean, what did it cost? What,
We've been getting good with Duke guy, David August, out here from Ontario, last time I was here for the media tour. I went and met him with Lorenzo, and we got this. That was close to Mexico, so today I went and visited him, and I saw the finished product, so I have about 50 suits now ready. I'm not blowing you away every time, but this is just a warm-up right now, this is just a jumping jack I'm on right now.
And you've been at the Red Rocks for the last week?
Yeah, I've been sitting at the Red Rocks. Yeah, I decided to come early, you know, get accustomed to the time difference, and get accustomed to the weather and everything, but honestly, I just feel like a shop is great, and I love this show, you know, this feels like home to me, I didn't feel no jet lag, no nothing. I stepped off the plane into the suite in the Red Rocks, and I've been feeling absolutely phenomenal ever since. I have never, ever felt better, never, ever felt more relaxed, and my performance September 27 will prove that.
Your first pay-per-view card. How is that feeling with everything mounting up behind it and being here in Las Vegas already?
Pay-per-view is where it's at. You want them big paychecks. You gotta be bringing in the pay-per-view numbers. But this is my start on the pay-per-view numbers. You know, I already had that. We had that crazy successful show in Dublin. It was one of the fastest selling. And it was just TV show on terrestrial TV in Ireland, and then on the Fight Pass platform, it was extremely successful on that also. So I'm looking forward to seeing the numbers here for the pay-per-views and see how it goes. You know, but again, I'm only starting my journey. I feel like this is the beginning of the takeover. I'm going to take over the pay-per-view game. This whole game is mine.
RTE doing a whole feature documentary series about you.
Yeah.
How do you feel for everybody
that's
over in
Ireland? Well, if you can imagine, RTE would be, well, I don't know American TV, to be honest, so it can't be compared, but RTE is the station that's in every single person's home. It's station number one. You know what I mean? Like, you put the telly on 1, 2, 3, one is RTE, it's the national broadcaster. So everyone in the whole country's will be tuning into this. We've done a documentary last year, it was a 1-hour documentary, the same team followed me around. This time, again, the numbers never lie, the ratings came in, it went through the roof. People are fascinated by this story, fascinated by what's going on. Nobody has ever seen somebody like me. Nobody from the nation of Ireland has ever come out to take some shots like I throw, speaking the way I speak, or dressing the way I dress, and could go on. But, so they decided to ask for a second one. Of course, now it's a little bit different. Now I'm a bit bigger than the first one. Now you've got Kenny. Now I'm not in on the way I'm told. So I am executive producer of this project, and we have got on a prime time slot Monday evening, which will be the most watched. It's the most watched time of the week, you know, at that time and that day. So it will be a 6-part series and 30-minute episodes. So it's here. The sport of MMA has captivated my country. You know, it's done. We can fill stadiums tomorrow. No problem. This 6-part series is going to take it to that next level, you know. I don't even know whether I'm prepared for this next level, you know. So it's going to be phenomenal. But I'm enjoying the ride, and of course, as the executive producer, I have final say, so it's going to look phenomenal.
What kind of behind the scenes tidbits can people expect to see?
Absolutely everything. You know, they've been with me everywhere. They were with me with Duke Dallas in Lorenzo's office. You know, I've been in Lorenzo's private gym. There's some intimate moments that a lot of There's stuff that hasn't been captured before. Of course, they saw the buildings, they were also in Iceland with me when I was over there. I've been in so many places, and these people have been with me in so many crazy situations that just tinge of situations that these men have been with me capturing. So it's going to be a phenomenal documentary. I'm not stopping at RTE, the national broadcaster. I don't think the sense of this documentary that I'm the executive of it. I'm looking to bring this here to maybe Fox or, you know, this. One of the big stations over here, I believe of course it has an American interest with the UFC and Boston, okay, and then of course the Rando and then all these backstage things. I know you guys want to watch it, you know, so you will have to pay, unfortunately.
Well, you describe your fight style, it seems to be a little bit of an enigma.
I don't know, I just look for many different styles. Honestly, every day I show up at the gym and I try new finding kicks, finding movements. I just feel I'm growing up in martial arts. I don't want to ever stay the same. I feel looking around past careers, I feel most martial arts get to the same stage and they get to the same level. And then, okay, now it's time to just, now the training camp is about just sparring hard, almost sparring hard, keeping fit. There's no growth there. You're not going to that next level. You're the same, your skill level is stagnating. Similar to the way I see Justin, my opponent Justin's path, his skill level has stagnated. He's never grown from strength to strength. Whereas if you look back at my past two fights, every single contest, I've tried a new shot in my arm or a new movement. And this one is no different. I've been working a lot on my proprio section, my balance, my flexibility. I'm only cracking the surface. I feel I'm only cracking the surface here skill wise, and I already feel that I'm better than everyone. So, that's it, that's a show for the game, have fun, and do what I do.
With no losses in almost 4 years, and you're riding, how do you stay hungry?
You know, it's pretty easy to stay hungry. You don't see it 50 shields out. I was in the guy had like 50 shields there for me, and I really like the shields, and they're all close to me. My name is on the shirt. These are luxury. You walk into this presidential suite and the marble floors are warm. Have you ever walked the marble floors in barefoot? It feels phenomenal. These are the type of things that drive me to the gym. I mean, that doesn't, I don't get comfortable in that. That fires me up. I want that every single second of my life. So it does nothing but push me up for it.
I thought that was something that was
really
compelling for you, especially when
we're
fighting with America,
that's your place. Yeah, of course, I'm looking to take over America also. It's part of the takeover, you know, and it's a new audience, Las Vegas for me, and of course, it will come out of me. It means that something comes out of me. It's supposed to come true to me. As far as fighting in America, I believe it's coming. Mm-hmm. I believe it's personal. A lot of Irish people come up to support me. They've got the Irish American heritage, which is really, really strong over here, as I'm sure you all know. And then you've got the Americans who are going to be supporting their hometown boys. So we put that all that into the mix. You've got the Americans supporting their hometown boys, the Irish Americans and the Irish supporting me. It's going to be a crazy, crazy atmosphere in there on Friday night. It's going to be the best atmosphere of the night. With us, if there's a void that is to be filled, well, I'm going to cram in there and fill that motherfucker up. You know what I mean? That's great. It's great for me, you know, so, yeah.
You talked about nerves, lack thereof. You talked about coming into this feeling incredibly comfortable, feeling calm. Isn't there a sense of danger with that, right? They say you want a little bit of nerves headed into a fight. You want to be a little uncomfortable. So is there any worry that you're maybe a little too comfortable, the suit, the suite, the lead up to this fight?
No, not really, you know, because ultimately it is an uncomfortable situation. If you think about it, for 99.9% of people, it's an uncomfortable situation. But I am comfortable in the uncomfortable, and that is what I'm getting across. To be comfortable, that is what that section is about. That is what getting to a high level is about, to be comfortable in the uncomfortable. And that is what I am. I feel truly comfortable in Look at me, I'm here, I'm only a little kid from Dublin Island, and there's 50 of you, so I'm not worried for any of you guys at home. You know, I'm making my case, and here we are at the top, so I don't know why I am like that, and I don't know why other people are not like that, but thankfully I am like that. I'm comfortable in the uncomfortable.
Can you talk about, when we talked on media day, I asked you if something were to happen to Chad or Joseph to come up and win, would you be ready to step in?
100%.
Sure, no.
You've got to never be ready. I stay ready. It's my photo. You go to dtron.com and I have a stay ready hotline. Stay ready handy. You've got a 5% handy in dtron.com history. Stay ready. I'm always in the gym. I'm always working. I don't stop. It's what I love to do. But God, that's why I think I'm comfortable. Because regardless of what goes on in there, because inside that octagon, anything can go on. As we all know, anything can happen inside that octagon. But win, lose, draw, whatever goes on, I still continue doing the same thing I do every day. I show up at the gym. I do what I love. I study martial arts. I study human love, and I carry on. And I'm actually flying out to Brazil. How about that?
Really?
They told me today. How do you feel about flying out to Brazil? I was like, damn, that's not only what I'm flying out, that octagon is need be. That's what I said, so who knows? I might stick a few banana peels around the
So you were talking about your taking over plan, so probably we're from Brazil, and we know that you have a dream to do an UFC and be giant soccer team. And you think like maybe you and Aldo can be this, could be this fight?
Honestly, in Dublin, I was just in their shadow boxing. Put me in there and shoot my shadow football stadium. I don't believe that many people, regardless of what I'm going to say, I know there's a lot of big stars in the UFC, but I don't think there's many people that can get out of your football stadium. You're looking at them right here, because I know in my hometown I can fill out a football stadium, no problem. So, and they are open for it. Of course they are open for it. It has been a club for a long time. There was that Dallas football stadium or whatever in there in Brazil. We'll see. It's definitely in the future, but we'll see. Under the right set of circumstances, it will happen.
What do you think about all these
guys doing all those things? Really, I don't give a shit. I'll football with them. I'll honestly football with them. But if I was to look at it, there's a lot of factors in it. And I like the mental side of combat sport. I like the mental side of anything, really. So you can look at it anyway. You have to win over Burrell with DJ Dillashaw. That changes the shape in things, you know. That makes it like that. Then you've got like that Burrell on his way and all. So there's definitely problems in the camp, you know. They've been complaining about money, etc., you know. And then injuries back and forth. So I feel a weakness in the mind frame of these people, which, you know, can go up and down at times, so you never know. But then you've got to also look at the fact of the fourth contest. That was embarrassing in the fourth contest. Every single shot he took was struck, and he got eaten alive on the feet, and they got knocked on the fourth round. So it's going to be an interesting one. But again, ultimately, I don't give a shit. I'm going to whoop out of them. So,
what do you think about Aldo coming from the WEC? He was a monster. He was taking everybody out within three rounds. Now some of his fights are going a little bit longer. Do you think he's starting to defend the title more than attack people just trying to secure it, or do you think it's the competition stepped up for him?
I just think it's got to deal with what I spoke about earlier. So many martial artists get into a situation where they stay get to a level, and then maintain. It's about maintenance. You know what I mean? Ring diving, spar fight, face it. But you're not grown to that next level. You're not experimenting with new shots, you know. You're going hard 24/7, and eventually, you know, your skill level, you're putting your body through hell, and your skill level is remaining the same. And eventually, over time, through battles in the gym, battles in the octagon, starts to take its toll. And that is what I believe has happened. You know, I'm only scratching the surface on all this. I only feel like I'm learning all this myself. That's why I think I'm a step ahead of these people. We will see. But again, this is my second fight back out to ACL surgery. You have to remember that. I'm not even here over ACL surgery. That fight here behind there was not even fully me, I don't think. If I was a judge, it would probably be one of my worst performances, to be honest. So I'm Now my balance is there, now my flexibility is there, now everything is just clicking. Even to that next level. I've so many shots in my book, like the word is trilogy.
Do you feel you're at 100% right now, where the brand's out by 90, 80%?
I mean, no, I felt 100%. I felt 100%. 5 years ago, I thought I was like, shit. I was just cooking. And all I had was a mean leg hook and put a horse to sleep. Looking back on it now, I'm like, dude, that was like a shit back then. Thank you, I didn't know. You know what I mean? And I'm saying that 100% now, but again, I'm aware that there's no limit to this. I think.
Well, your knee, you were saying, was not quite 100%. Now that you're on it now, and you said you can feel a little bit more flexibility, the knee wasn't quite like that.
Like, I've improved it. I mean, not that it wasn't where it was before. I've been working a lot on my flexibility. I've been working a lot on my dexterity with the kicks. I might just put my foot right to your face and just leave it there. You know what I mean? These are things that take time to work on, and I've just been working on them all the time, and I feel like I'm just keep climbing to that next level. I said to my coach after the Diego Van Der Fuck, we analyzed every single bit of that fight together, and we picked a million different mistakes and a million different other ways we should have approached it, you know. And then there was some players who presented itself, and I spoke to my coach and said, what's now? We're going to look at the next level here. And I feel we are at that next level. But the level is on end. Continue.
Training over at SPG with some of the people that are in the UFC, such as like Gunnar Nelson, which you maybe not even familiar with, or Austin Bridge. How does that help push you?
100%. I mean, think about it. My main time is a welterweight. Tony's a light, fast welterweight, but again, his kicks, his punching, his karate style, he's very elusive. And his jiu-jitsu, he's the best jiu-jitsu in the UFC, bar none. I mean, he could call it as well, rugby style comes forward, he can say, puts pressure on. These are big welterweights I'm dealing with day in, day out, you know, so. I love my team, I love my team, I celebrate my surroundings, I think that's a big key to success, to celebrate the surroundings. I believe you have a beautiful thing going. I believe it's just a perfect storm, you like to call it.
I remember back when you first came to Las Vegas, Boston, with these grunts, you...
Where was it?
It was at the Irish Park down there, and you were like, why did they take me to an Irish
Park? Exactly. What the fuck is that? Irish guy, all the way to Vegas. And then bring me to an Irish Park. But that's all right. Now here we are, and then they take you to a carpet office. So I'm happy. It was a lot of me on the top. It was like, it was dead as deep, and it was like a dark floor. This is what I feel you know. I'm not going to be a steel, a big long table. I've never said a big long table before.
Well, at that time, you were the wolf, you were going to be doing the eating, and do you feel that you're being brought along at the right pace, or is it too close
for you? Yeah, no, I think it makes sense, you know, he's a genius businessman, my employer, you know what I mean, they know what they're doing here in this game, so I trust them as well, you know, but I feel like it's just happened, like I said, it's a perfect storm happening. Ultimately, I already feel like the goal is mine. I already feel like I'm world champion. And now I just have to take everybody out. And I am in the process of doing that. So Sim is next. Who knows what is next, but ultimately I will take out every single one of these featherweights. Not just one of them. I'm coming after all of them. Maybe one person that came in to the UFC and went at everyone. I don't think there is anyone that came into the UFC and went at everyone. But I'm coming in and I'm coming out. I'm coming here to take out every single one of them. Whether they like it or not.
Your coach said that you could be the UFC's first three-division champion. Have you thought, put any thought into that? I mean, I know it's really premature, we haven't even secured the federal title yet, but could you realistically go up to welterweight fight there?
I believe there's a lot of welterweights that could be way out there, for sure. Like I said, my main training is not as a welterweight. Cody will be the next UFC welterweight champion, but way out there. He's a future 170-pound champion. In that way, Gunny is a drifter. I see Gunny winning the belt and then maybe floating off. And who knows what Gunny is? He's a crazy character. But I definitely have my eyes that way with the division. Saturday, you know, it's a tough cut. I will eliminate the contenders in the Saturday division. I will clean it out. And then I will move up and take that 155 pound strap. And I believe around that same time, I'm going to go back to 170 pound strap. And then we'll just see what happens from there. But yeah, my coach believes in me, and I believe in my coach. I believe what he says. But I believe in my abilities. I'm a big fellow. I'm not a small lightweight either. I tell titles at lightweight as well. The thing about lightweight is I'm fast at lightweight. I can eat a lot, you know what I mean? I train, you know what I mean? It's a different preparation for featherweight than it is for lightweight. But lightweight is certainly more enjoyable for me. You know, at times when I get the 3-week mark before the lightweight thing, it can be tough at times, but again, I just reiterate to myself that this is where the money is made. This is where people can make a break. So, again, I feel like I'm a veteran to this game, that I understand the emotions that I've experienced from time to time again. And here we are now, a couple of days out from my next featherweight cut. And I feel great. It's hard not to feel great.
Do you feel comfortable thinking about the possibility of years that's still low? I mean, because you clean out everybody in the featherweight division because you want to for years, but continually making that cut for that long of amount of time, you comfortable with that?
We'll see what way it plays out, but you know, who knows, I might get that belt and just go up that second belt straight away. Who knows, I might have that happen again. Who knows. We'll see. I don't know whether I'm getting better with the cut. I feel I'm getting more professional with it. I feel I have it to a T. I don't understand that some of these people, professional athletes, show up and can't make weight. No, I understand it is a tough. I don't think any of you here can understand health as it is, you know, for some people. But I just don't understand that you don't put a bit more time into researching the correct way of doing it. But I feel like I have it down to the science right now. You know what, I'm 5'9", can be 3 inches, that's a big featherweight, you know. I believe Jose Aldo's 5'7", was 69 inches, 7 inches. Shawn Mendes was 5'5", was 6'5", that's an 8-inch difference. With 4-inch height. You know, these are big factors that play inside the context. If you look at Diego Banderas, I didn't see myself Diego Banderas. Same thing. Diego Banderas is a mirror body type of Aldo. So I'm a bigger man here, and I know I'm getting a bully to these people as well as that system. You know, so we will see again. Anthony Pettis is 5'10", but can be 2-inch reach. So he's one inch height advantage, but 1 inch reach less. Ben Henderson's 5'9", but 70-inch reach advantage. So he's same height, but 2-inch reach advantage. So I know my game. I know this game inside out. I make no mistake about it. I have my eyes on all the gold and all the money. Then I'll catch you all later.
You spend what time for some of these questions, you know, back off the top of your head. How much time do you spend researching stuff like that and watching film on a guy's division?
Before, I never used to really watch. I never used to get like that, watching a lot of stuff on the phone. But now that I'm trying to do it, it's kind of hard not to. You watch every show, you know everything that's going on. I don't know, I believe I have a quick brain. I just pick these things up. And I am aware of people that I see competition, I see competitors, I see my competitors, you know, and I just take note of things. You know, I don't sit and study and stare. It just kicks me for some reason. I don't know why, you know. I wouldn't sit and obsess about nobody. I wouldn't like watching an interview. You know what I mean? It just comes to me without trying, if that makes sense.
How much of your game do you think is mental versus physical? If you're able to recall that kind of information, how much of an advantage do you think?
Probably 100%. I believe people say it's like 90% mental, 10% physical. I just think it's math. I think everything is illusion. You know, the mind is what creates these things. You know, it's just mind creates the shot. I visualize these shots landing just every time. I look at the system, it's just so strong. It seems that it's having crystal clear in my head. And that just comes true, so I don't know, I believe it's 100% mental, and I have a mind different than my other competitors.
When you were young, did you visualize all this, all the fame and the the money, the suits and all that. How are we going to work on that?
Not to win a national title, I'm stupid like that.
to be able to be comfortable in an uncomfortable situation. That was my original reason for joining combat sports. So every time I would go to a boxing gym or I would drive around the gym, I would feel the butterflies that I felt that time. And I'd be thinking, yes, now I'm getting more comfortable. Now I'm feeling these feelings more. So the more I feel them, the more I'm going to be comfortable in them. But I was always searching for that feeling. Eventually then it moved on from just going to walking through the gym doors having that butterflies. Now it's time to start to get even more butterflies. I'll be just trying to grow. Then it's competition. Now look, see, now I'm getting crazy butterflies. Now in fact you just become comfortable with it. Now I'm fucking fucking the MGM ground and I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? I'm just progressing to that. I bounced around my home. People seen me backstage before I sold in the car. I was like walking out. Is this supposed to be pressure here? Is this supposed to be the moment where people choke? I felt like this was easy. This is what I've been doing. These are the feelings I've been feeling my whole life. These are the feelings I've been chasing my whole life. And here we are. You know what I mean? It couldn't have went better for me in Dublin. You know what? That's something like that was a moment in history. I know, sure, maybe some of you might have hated on me. You know what I mean? Even if you don't like to admit it, you know. But it was a phenomenal event I had. It blew UFC brass away. It blew everybody away. And it's a moment in history for the Irish people specifically, and for the UFC in general. That was a moment in history out there. And for me, like, one thing I always take from this room is the tunnel. I'll never forget the tunnel. It was dark, and it was like people coming over the side of it, and then I could see like a barrier of people in front. So all I could see was people hanging over and people hanging over in the front, and then it was beard slipping down. It was like a line of beard slipping down. I walk in barefoot every time. I'm just walking through this beard so dark alley, and there's people screaming, and I'm like, this is what it's about. This is what I was put here to do. And I felt great. I don't know why I'm like that. I suppose all of these things combined, doing these things as a kid, I'm feeling these emotions, have just kind of led me to get to that stage. But again, there is no limit to this. I'm just going to keep on going until I don't know when I can stop.
Do you think that gives you an advantage, having that, and not just the analytical approach, but having the comfort of the child, you know, you wanting the adoration from the crowd, you know, battling your nerves. I mean, I don't know how many fighters actually take that head-on approach, like, okay, this makes me uncomfortable, I'm going to go head-on. You've been doing this from an early age, you know what I mean? That has to make you feel a little special.
I don't know, that's funny, but I don't really talk about that. You know, now people are asking these questions. That's why I kind of like giving meetings.
That's a good therapy thing.
I'm sure it definitely it helps me because, you know, there's world champions in the gym, you know, I can get my ass whooped in the gym, you know, you get your ass whooped in the gym every day, people like I said, world champions in the gym, but when the lights go down, time to do the business, time to make that walk. Not everyone can do it. It's a small select few, and I believe my set of circumstances have allowed me to become special in that situation.
It sounds like you're able to live in the moment, where, like you're describing each of the feelings that you were experiencing the other some food for you.
I'm going to let I asked for a chicken salad with a little bit of avocado.
I know, that's what we ordered. I don't know what happened.
A big cheesy ham sandwich. How old am I having Lorenzo?
Sorry, go ahead. Have you always been like that? It's like living in the moment. How important is that? And do you think that's why maybe you pick up some things on your opponents?
I've said this before, I believe I can read the mind better than I can read the movement. And that just helps me.
How do you do that? A look in the eyes?
Know yourself and know others. Know yourself and know others. And I know myself truly because I've been, like I said, from a kid with these feelings and I'm battling these things, you know. Conquering these things. So I just feel I'm able to know what's going through a man's head, you know. If you want to know what way a man feels, listen to his words, you know. That's an easy challenge right there. But then you can go deeper, look at his eyes, look at his body language, look at his posture, look at his approach. Look at his approach when you're there, and look at his approach when you're not there.
Well, you're talking about it too with your fighting, that, you know, the staying stagnant part. That's a big thing you see with other fighters. Mm-hmm. It seems to me that since the young age, you've just been kind of like, and not even fighting the side, you've been on a quest for improvement. Why am I feeling these emotions? Why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. Analyzing yourself, like you said, to better know the world around you, I guess.
Know yourself and know what it is. It's definitely, when I put it like that, it actually makes a hell of a lot of sense. I've never put it like that before. I've never thought of it like that, but it makes a hell of a lot of sense. I'm grateful that this meeting has happened, and I actually feel even better now, if you can imagine that.
So you're going to Brazil, maybe
you'll see the video on this year. It's gold in this right here. We'll tell this on paper here.
So, you're going to Brazil, you're going to probably jump and challenge the winner. Do you feel like the contender, the next contender? Do you think like right after this fight you're gonna go on?
I feel like a contender, I feel like a king. September 27th is gonna make the difference between a king and a contender. That's cool.
Yeah. And have you learned any Portuguese, you know, because you're gonna be in that crowd?
I don't mean when you're a king, you don't need to speak anything. You just wave like a king. That's a king wave right there. Yeah. When the camera comes on, I'll just wave.
Oh,
my. The king doesn't need to speak.
Are you going to be able to get the bananas through customs?
But Brazil is a phenomenal country. I'm always coming to Brazil, it's going to be special for me. Look, I'm thinking to myself every day, this is phenomenal for me. I'm having fun along the way. I know I might rub people up the wrong way sometimes, but I'm just a kid living my dream, you know what I mean? So it is what it is. I'm enjoying my life.
Maybe you'll change your outfit for Brazil, you know, something more tropical?
Every damn day. I change my outfit. We'll see, but I'm sure it's going to be tough, but hopefully they have air coming, because I'm still loving the skills, no doubt, better in that arena.
Obviously, you were joking about your lunch, but how often do you talk to Lorenzo? You guys text back and forth? Or?
Yeah, I'm pretty close with Lorenzo. I'm saying, you know, he's my employer, you know. I'm grateful for these people here are changing my life, you know. And even when the injury happened with Holloway, you know, they just put me up with the best rehabilitation, the best surgeon, the best physio, it was in LA, they put me up in a nice place. I'm grateful every single day for what these people have done for me. So what I do, what that does for me is spur me on to keep continue working, improve my work, and to keep showing up at the gym, to keep climbing to that next level. But I've become very close. Of course, you know, if these men are changing my life, I try not to become close to people like that, you know. And thankfully, they have taken to me as well, and it's a beautiful thing.
I remember reading an article that right after you fight in Dublin, instead of going directly to your after party, you actually sat down with Lorenzo for what kind of a business do you conduct on a fight night like that? What is the point of that?
Well, he messaged me and said, let's go. Or he messaged me and said, well, I'm going to come to the fight. I'm going to see your fight. Because I obviously probably maybe was not going, but I don't know. Then I'm going to the fight. I said, that's brilliant with my title shot contract. And then he said, let's go grab a whiskey at the party. And then that was that. So I said, hello, Mark. And I said, the whiskey thing. I was like, I would be honored. And then, of course, the post fight thing, I just ran with it. I said, we're going to sell some whiskey. And I was just saying, no, I didn't know. Maybe he was just speaking. And then Dana said to me, we went back to the full season, and then we're going to chill out to the ground. So we went back to the full season, and I walked into the full season hotel, the table like this, and I had all the random people, his wife, Danish people, and there was a big table full of food, and we had a whiskey and just had fun, you know. It was a successful event for the capacity. It was like 9,500, it was a 1.4 million gate, and it was like a fight pass, you know, the numbers for fight pass jumped through. It was just a successful round, so we back now at the table, they can do a toast to Michigan, celebrate its success, and then, of course, at the same time, Houston was speaking on Twitter, you know, and Houston came up and said, let's do Houston, let's go Vegas, and now here we are. It all, like I said, a perfect storm. But it was a fun night we had in Dublin. They were flopping around. They looked over the bar and they were drinking Guinness from different bars, and it was phenomenal to see that. For those Irish people, you know, see the strong Irish heritage that the American people have and how much they love our country. For me personally, that fills me with joy. You know what I mean? So, and I could see it on fight week. When I'm coming away, I could see Lorenzo and Dana walking around. They're like little kids, happy little kids walking around, you know, so it was perfect. But we had a good time over there, and I got a lot closer to them. After the Dublin fight, I've been close ever since. I constantly keep in touch, you know, I let them know me and we only speak. But ultimately, at the end of the day, let's not be mistaken. It's business. It's business related. I think what can happen to a lot of people is, and it probably has happened to a lot of people, they get comfortable, they consider themselves part of the furniture. They consider themselves in there. And then start showing up a little bit less out of shape, a little bit hasn't improved much, you know, that's not me. I'm well aware of this business and business, you know what I mean? Business is never personal at the end of the day, you could look at the rules, but it's never personal. So I show up here and do business. And I think they respect that as well, and I think that's why we have such a good relationship right now. And again, it's only grown strength from strength to strength. And recently, well, not recently, as soon as I got the tattoo from Chen Dan, I'm like, what the fuck did you do to your chest? I hate that tattoo. I was like, you're getting old, boss, that tattoo was shit. He's still in Dublin, he's like, asking my girlfriend to be here, he's like, don't lie to me and tell me you like that tattoo, I know you fucking hate it. I do like it. And then just today, Lorenzo said, Dana's actually coming around, he said, tattoo looks actually alright. They're like, yes, they're going to make me Dana, like, because I told him, you're going to come around, that tattoo was the shit. So I'm not going to see him, it's going to get good in my table. And you know, I might get a portrait of it for him.
Would you compare the scale of other names roads in Ireland and here in the United States? Which one would you say, where is it more popular? Between Ireland and here in the United States, with the growth of MMA and how much it's followed, where would you say it's more popular?
Well, in Ireland, the growth of MMA is going through the roof. You can ask grandmothers about detail of single leg defense. that's how big we're getting over there right now. But of course, it's bigger in America at the moment. Of course, the UFC is bigger in America at the moment. At the moment, I'm bigger than the sport of MMA. I'm nearly like this. Because of the way the injury happened, because of the way everything panned out, and then the documentary came out, I've become kind of like a celebrity outside, you know, more. And then the clothes and the fashion thing, and it kind of just took on a life of its own. So I'm here, and then I'm bringing MMA up with it, you know. And obviously, the Dublin show brought us to that next level, and we're just going to continue growing. So, but obviously, it's bigger than America right now, but. I mean, if the scale, the size of America, the size of Ireland, will probably, I don't know.
Did you see any of the murals they painted? I saw a couple of pictures of that. That's pretty trippy,
that's
right?
That's pretty crazy. The murals.
How'd that make you feel? Just seeing that stuff?
It blew me away, you know, to see these big murals painted on the side of buildings. Like, I'm the most, again, I feel like I'm painting myself every day. There's so many marks I'm painting myself on, you know what I mean? But it's phenomenal. The support that I'm getting is phenomenal. Again, these are things that drive me to work. I don't get satisfied. Satisfaction is a feeling I have. I don't think I've ever felt. You know what I mean? I'm always trying to get that next one, you know, so. And it's great to have the support of my home country and the support of everybody. But ultimately, this is for my team. This is for my small circle of people that I've been in this for. You know, I want to secure my family future. I want to secure my own future. And I'm in the process of doing that.
Well, speaking of driving yourself to work, the last time we talked to Heidi, you mentioned at the Dark Irish Pub, you had just went out the night before on the Ferrari tour of Las Vegas.
Okay.
All right, Dana said you win 3 or more fights, then we'll talk. We're approaching 3 or 4 more fights.
So you get that Ferrari or what? I swear to God, right? The guy...
How many fights did you resign for?
And I signed an 8-fight contract. That is all you'll get told. Just know it's a damn good one. That's all you need to know.
And it starts before you.
Starts before you, yes.
Was the Ferrari you had mentioned in the contract?
The short time I'm practicing losing with, finishing with, is definitely a million-dollar kick, so we'll see. I'll get my own Ferrari on my own, out of my own paycheck.
Thank you. I'm going to take Carter with Beck and I'm going to have you guys stay for a couple of hours.
Thank you.
All right, members of the media, we'll have this on our website here in the next few minutes. So I have two statements for you, one on Thiago Silva and one on Anthony Johnson. Again, these will be on the website. I'm just reading through them to you so you guys get them first as a thanks for thank you for coming to our event today. Thiago Silva was released from his UFC contract on February 7th due to his arrest by police in South Florida. The charges against Silva were dropped by the Broward County District Attorney's Office, and Silva was re-signed to the UFC earlier this month. Based on new information received today in the form of video and audio evidence, Silva has been terminated from his UFC contract. Again, Thiago Silva has been terminated from his contract. Statement on Anthony Johnson. We are aware of the situation involving Anthony Johnson. As a result, we are suspending him indefinitely. We are using a third-party law firm to conduct a formal investigation. And once we have more information, we'll determine whether further course of action is necessary. So, in a nutshell, Thiago has been terminated, and Anthony has been suspended indefinitely pending the outcome of our investigation.
And that was based on, audio and video?
The exact phrase is based on new information received today in the form of video and audio evidence.
So
no further comment other than that, but I wanted to make sure you guys heard it first. Thanks for coming today.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, police report came out.
Another one. Really?
Yeah, mine, right? Or did you?
That's right. Kind of right.
Yeah.
I don't lay out all my stories about this before.
I do. What did you say? I said blueprints are for amateurs, and he said, at least I don't write out my stories by hand. Like, that's what I do. I write.
Did you say that was based on, for Silva, based on the deep investigation?
No, it's based on the evidence I'm about to see today's video that we can use. Video.
He doesn't normally do
it. He always starts to have me to MMA stuff.
We might have seen that a little bit.
Yeah, all.
Thank you.